This is the BBC.
Here's today's podcast. It's a good one. It's the Scott Mills Daily. Sean Walsh tells us about a sleepover which I didn't know about at Chris's house and plays a cracking game of innuendo bingo. Ed Sheeran with a sword. There are more rumours and speculation. Theresa May's hamper and that warm, fuzzy feeling you get when you realise the celebrity isn't dead after all. Oh, Chris, I've just been looking through the clips today for Innuendo Bingo. There's some great ones today.
Are they?
Oh, so good. Culprits include Holby City, Joanna Lumley in Japan, Escape to the Country, and for the first time, I think, on Innuendo Bingo, someone spotted an innuendo in a how-to video on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that loud? I guess it is.
Yeah. Send them in. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. We've got Sean Walsh coming in at 1:45. You know him really well, don't you?
I do, yeah. He's a very good friend of mine, but when he gets wet, his hair goes all sort of gross and matted, like a dog.
It does go dog-like, and let's hope he just doesn't shake it off in your direction like dogs do.
Yeah.
So this was from last time Sean was on Innuendo Bingo. Rachel Koo is in Malaysia, and poor Rachel has been caught out by one of the native traditions.
Before I leave, the village headman is determined to see if I can shoot his blowpipe.
Still one of my favourite all-time clips, that. Rachel Koo. Also, this happened last time Sean was on.
It's a tiny bit wetter than you think it's going to be, isn't it?
I just that little burp then.
Sorry. That happened. I thought that was going to be a burp that is internal.
It's okay.
You know when you... Okay. Sorry.
You know, the first burper on bingo ever, I think. Sean Walsh is on at 1:45 this afternoon.
Scott Mills.
Hi, Lucy, who's a massive Sean Walsh fan and is going to... Well, she's got tickets to see him in Porthcawl in February. Looking forward to bingo at 1:45 this afternoon. Someone just said we should get Bradley Walsh in for Innuendo Bingo. I think we may have already asked him, but I don't think he could do it because of his busy schedule with the chase. Also, I don't actually think he'd be able to hold it together. Well, I'll ask again. Also, if you've got any other suggestions for people that you would like to play the game, then just email me or text 81199 or scott.mills@bbc.co.uk.
Scott Mills.
Hello, Sean Walsh.
Hello, mate.
Hello. I didn't realise that you two had a sleepover together.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew you were mates.
Yeah, there was this time that we basically were both at Reading Festival.
Yeah.
Sean, you were doing the comedy.
Yes.
I came doing the comedy.
I've not got a singing career.
I came along to heckle.
Mm-hmm.
Actually really enjoyed myself.
Why is that actually?
I mean, actually, you just enjoy it.
He's an established comedian.
Yeah, I know, but I've struggled, and I've been honest with you about this, I struggle with stand-up comedy.
Why?
Because I sometimes find I go along to stand-up comedy and laugh to be polite to the comedian.
And is that what you did at Sean's gig?
Well, actually, I think it's their job to make me laugh. So actually, I shouldn't laugh by force.
No, definitely not. I think you're seeing the wrong people.
Anyway, so
you did make me laugh.
So then you went to Reading. Then the sleepover, right?
And then we had a couple of drinks after that, and then we had quite a late night.
Yes.
And you ended up back at my girlfriend's parents' house.
What?
Because they conveniently live near to Reading.
Yeah.
So we were staying there, and I woke up next morning and said, I'm sure Sean Walsh came back with us.
We pushed in the queue. Do you remember that?
I wouldn't have met them. You, yeah.
There was a queue for the taxi, and we pushed in.
Do you know how we did it? Front. Sean Walsh went to the front saying...
No, he did not do that.
No, it's better than that. My girlfriend went to the front of the queue and said, Sean Walsh is in the queue.
We would have been sent away.
This is just fantastic.
That is not what happened.
No, but what was the best, Scott, is he woke up the next morning and then had a really strange moment where the next morning we're all sitting around having breakfast. That's me, my girlfriend, all her family, and Sean Walsh is sat there.
Amazing.
Not feeling
at
that
breakfast.
Well.
No.
I mean, also, when you go to your girlfriend's parents' house, they do like a party there, don't they?
They do.
The after party is definitely there all the time. Right, so Sean, this is your second time on Innuendo Bingo, I think.
Yes.
It's all going to be fine. And tour starts next week. I don't think there's many places where you're not going.
Oh, is it next week, is it?
Next week. Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
How do you prepare?
It's a lot of dates, Sean.
Is it fitness and stuff like that?
Well, I've got, to be honest with you, I've got to remember the show.
Yeah.
I've not done it. This is the longest I've not performed stand-up, which is over a month.
Wow.
10 years of doing it,
I've
basically forgotten it. Mm. So the beginning of the tour, there'll be a lot of
And you literally have to relearn.
I'll just have to, yeah. And I've not recorded, I don't write my stuff, so I'll just have to try and remember it. There you go. There's a plug for the tour.
So go and see...
come and see me. I don't really remember the show. There'll be a lot of humming.
If there's some gaps, he's just trying to remember.
Definitely won't be an encore, because I won't remember that.
Anyway, it's happening throughout February and March.
Do you do encores, then?
I do. Because what the tradition is, you do a fake encore. All comedians do it. They walk off. And they come back on, and they were going to come back on anyway.
But if the crowd don't shout for it, have you just
they
just
do
finish
anyway.
Up early?
No, but they do, like they're just clapping goodbye, clap, and as they're clapping, the comedian will walk off and then come back on.
What? Right. But did the crowd do one more joke? One more joke.
One more joke.
Like, what are they chanting to get the encore?
More.
They don't do that.
They do. Why are you looking at me like that? They do. They might have not done it at Reading when you were there. They were politely laughing.
You don't go to stand-up comedy and at the end of the routine go, more.
You do.
More. You don't. You get
why is that not believable?
On.
That does happen.
No.
It does. That's to be a really good
like
gig.
Like in a theatre that happens, right?
I don't think that happens. Who wants to see more of a play? What would you say? It's the end of a play. I want to see another bit.
I'm sure
of the story
happened.
That's not been written. Improvised.
You can't get an encore at the theatre.
That's ridiculous.
But no,
but like going to the cinema, the film ends. More.
But like in the bit
takes. Deleted scenes. More.
In the bit between it finishing and then coming out and doing the bow.
What?
People shout more.
No, they don't.
They do.
No, they say bravo.
Okay, right, yeah. I'm getting it confused.
This is Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.
Okay, let's do this.
It's time to witness the wetness. This is Innuendo Bingo.
So, Sean Walsh is playing Innuendo Bingo today, his second time. Hope you find the clips funny. This is always the thing, I think, when we have funny comedians on. It's like, well, what if they don't laugh? What if the clips are below par?
Mm. I think the water in the mouth helps, doesn't it? The tension.
Okay. Right, so after an amazing plug for his own tour.
the best tour, the best plug for anything.
Sean's here to play Innuendo Bingo. All right, so... a bit of a different one. Our first clip today was spotted by Rob on YouTube, and it's from a video that tells you how to repair alloy wheels on your car.
Okay.
Now, if I'd known what was involved in car mechanics, I would have probably paid more attention to my own alloys. They're a bit rubbish, mine. They're all scuffed.
Hang on.
We're on Facebook Live now if you want to watch us.
Do you want me to aim up or down?
Up.
Okay. But, okay, yep. I have got a bit of a cold.
No,
but...
because
oh,
I've...
excellent.
I've not got... another set of boxes.
Fine.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is you either have wet boxes or you might catch a cold.
I'd rather be ill.
Fine.
I'd rather be ill. Excellent. All right, then. So, over to the YouTube alloy video. Here we go.
Mask off the tire with masking paper or an old set of playing cards. Remove any emblems. Cover your brake rotor and caliper with paper. And mask off your nuts before proceeding with the rim job.
Bloody hell. Sorry.
No swears, please.
Sorry.
But that's allowed.
You were just shocked.
Because it's an innuendo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Great video there.
And mask off your nuts before proceeding with the rim job.
Mm. All about the alloys. Water, please. Water, please. A classic now in honour of the great Mary Berry. I know, what a national treasure at last night's television awards. Here she is, with Paul Hollywood, on her Easter masterclass, teaching Paul a trick or two.
Slowly to begin with, otherwise it'll come all over me.
Like that. You mucky pop.
That's you going over yourself there, that's not my fault.
I'm doing it to me.
Yeah.
Little problem with the blender they had on that one. Listen to Paul's reaction.
You mucky pop.
Oh, Mary, you mucky pop.
Slowly to begin with, otherwise it'll come all over me.
Oh. Okay, water, please. Right. Sean Walsh is on Innuendo Bingo. We're going to Escape to the Country now from BBC Two earlier in the week. Sometimes I do wish I lived in the countryside. There's just so much to see. And here's news of an old monument that's been standing for decades. Also, you might need to reload. Don't be distracted by the name of one of the castles. Thank you.
From the fortified medieval manor house of Haddon Hall in the Peak District to the stately Beaver Castle in Leicestershire, the East Midlands showcases an impressive architectural legacy. Here, a modest semi remains virtually untouched since the 1920s.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, that went down the wrong way.
I've so unspoilt.
I've got another burp.
Again?
Yeah. But it's trapped.
Why is this? I've got trapped.
It's trapped wind.
Yeah, I know. I heard.
Maybe it's the motions of the game that gives you this. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably the association of trying to hold water in your mouth, isn't it? Because that's what you do when you've got hiccups.
Oh, right.
And maybe it's a similar thing.
Thank you, Dr. Stark.
Right, so let's let's go over to Tuesday night's Holby City now.
I'm just drinking it. What am I doing?
Just right. Put it in your mouth there. Pop it in your mouth.
Oh, there's an innuendo.
Oh, matron. I've got no idea what this character means, actually, on this. I think it's some kind of hospital speak.
Okay.
Whatever it is, it sounds painful. From Holby City.
Well, that's just resting my eyes.
Rest in your eyes, my fat fanny.
I was not expecting.
I think she meant she was annoyed. thanks to Jodie for that one.
Well, what was that from?
Good spray. Holby City. Tuesday
night. What time is Holby City on?
8 o'clock or something on Tuesdays?
I'm getting that on the Sky Plus planet.
Yes. Water, please. We've got a classic now from BBC Radio 4. And here the presenter has one simple job: to say the name of theatre director Penny Horner. Let's see how he gets on.
In a moment, Libby Purvis meets the archaeologist Deirdre O'Sullivan of the Greyfriars research team, which discovered and excavated Richard III. Also, Frances Ross, the great-granddaughter of the engineer Sebastian de Ziani Ferranti. And Penny Horner. Penny Horner.
He'd done so well.
Upward spray there from Sean.
Yes.
He's done so well.
And Penny Horney. Penny Horner.
Correction.
Penny Horner.
Correction.
Water, please.
Right.
Good spray.
We all good?
Right.
Now over to Joanna Lumley, the respected actress, campaigner and national treasure.
Yes.
Now, Joanna never prepares questions for interviews. She just simply gathers all the facts and then asks the very first thing that comes into her head. Here we go.
It's an incredible statistic that nearly a third of all Japanese men are single today. And that perhaps explains the enthusiasm of the audience tonight. Each fan can show just where his loyalty lies, the colour of the glow stick signifying which girl he likes the best.
Yuki-san.
Yes.
How often do you come?
Once or twice a week.
Do you?
Thank you to Wayne for sending that one in.
You're pretty wet.
Yeah.
You're doing well.
You somehow got it down my back just then, Sean.
Oh.
It's because he's going matron. So upward.
Matron.
Water, please.
You're better than that.
No, I'm not.
Now, I know there have been cuts across the BBC, but I still think they should have someone to check out what the callers are going to say before they go on. Listen to this from BBC Radio Norfolk.
Phone, text, email the programme now. Bernie, good morning.
Morning, young man.
Good morning. Good to have you on. Give me your favourite TV programme.
Well, first of all, I'll give you the number on my telly. It's just 120, which I press regularly every night at 7 o'clock. Porn Stars. All the way from Dallas, Texas.
Porn Stars?
You haven't seen it then.
Oh, good.
It's his favourite.
Porn Stars. All the way from Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't expecting that.
No, they weren't. Right, so, but they pawn things, P-A-W-N, obviously. And finally, a classic from a BBC cooking show.
Yes.
Poor Hollywood's Pies and Puds. And here's a really vital tip that I think we should all pay very close attention to.
Paul's asked me to get a really good strawberry, so I've come to a local farm shop. I'm looking for some strawberries that are not too ripe, because if they're too ripe, they won't set, but not too small either, because if they're too small, then all you're going to get is a load of seed in your mouth.
And that was Sean Walsh in your under bingo.
Got me.
Good game today, lads. Thank you very much. Sean, good luck with your tour, your big, big tour.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.
You know, I spent the weekend with my mate.
Yeah.
And he was telling me, and I wanted this to be on the radio today, about his stress with Throwback Thursday.
Okay.
Which is today.
And what's his stress?
Well, I've got him on the line now to explain. I think he'll do it better. Hi, Dino.
Yes, hello.
Yes, what's the stress, please?
So basically, it's a bit of a personal dilemma. I always seem to, like, stumble across an old photo of when I was 16 and morbidly obese or in, like, an absurd costume that's really funny. And I think, oh, I'd really like to post that. But I always see it on a Wednesday, and I obviously you need to post it on a Thursday for Throwback Thursday.
Why do you?
And then, well, because what else are you going to say?
Just
like, way back
Thursday.
Wednesday, you can't just do it. You know what I mean?
Also, if you post an old picture of yourself on any other day, it's just a bit strange. It looks like you know that you look really good in this picture, so you're trying to bump it up your profile to make people think that you look like that now.
Well, Throwback Thursday is like the safety net where you can just, it gives you like a reason to actually post it. So what happens is I see these photos either at some point in the week. I want to do it on a Thursday, but it always passes. So there I am on a Friday looking at my photo, seething, but I can't post it.
Right. So tell us what you did at the weekend.
Well, I set an alarm.
For today?
For today, for 8:30 this morning, so I'd remember.
Did it go off?
Yeah, it went off and I posted it and it's had an amazing response.
You're going to forget again, though.
I know, but I'm not going to do it every Thursday, but it's just, I'm going to, like, ease it out over the next few months so I can do a Throwback Thursday photo every now and then.
But why don't you do that? Why don't you set yourself a weekly reminder for the Throwback Thursday? That's not a bad idea.
That's a good idea. Then I could get rid of them quicker, couldn't I?
I really like that this is playing with your mind.
I think there should be... We should, like, campaign for another day of the week just to spread it out so there's less stress. Like, I don't know, what else we could do? Like a Way Back Wednesday.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Forgotten
so
Friday.
You have, exactly, that's a good one. So you have more opportunity to post these old photos.
You think anyone else does this? Or is it just you that sets the alarm?
I think it's just me who sets the alarm. But I reckon lots of other people secretly struggle with it. So now that I've voiced this story, I bet you people are going to come out of the woodwork. You watch. Wait for the text.
All right, well, I'll let you know if there's any.
Okay.
Love you. Bye.
Love you, bud.
Scott Mills. Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.
Hello, Marion.
Hi.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
So you were listening earlier, weren't you, with my mate who always misses Throwback Thursday and is like, oh, God, I can't put old pictures on for another week.
I was.
And you got something similar?
Yeah, well, my dad was away this weekend visiting family and he came back with some pictures and sort of told me about some that he'd found from when we were kids. And I was horrified.
Why?
So there's one of me when I was about 15, 16, and it looks like 15-year-old me has eaten current me.
Right. Okay, how old are you now?
26.
Right, okay. So yeah. A bit bigger then, were you?
Apparently so. I don't ever remember being... like a washed-up animal.
Right.
But it's terrible.
Have you put this on Throwback Thursday today?
I'm tempted. I sent it to my boyfriend's sister, and she said that she's going to make a Throwback Thursday out of it.
Do
and
it.
Show it to
do
everybody.
It.
Yeah.
I like that your mate Dino as well really cared about people's reaction to it. You want to put a picture up on Throwback Thursday just for everyone else's reaction. Not even just your memories, not even because it's a picture that reminds you of good times.
Yeah.
It's more for everyone else and how they perceive it.
Exactly.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he's going to set an alarm now every week. Okay, this is what I've got for you today, Marion.
Straight in.
This is what I've got. Here we go. Yes. My First Kiss, 303, featuring Kesha.
God, that's an old song.
Did this chart?
Yes, yes, it charted very well.
No, because I remember 303 with the whistling one. No,
this is like my first kiss when in a light bit.
Random.
Okay, so that's
all right.
But
that's a very Scott choice today. Or you can have my choice, which is this. We all love this one, right? This is Coldplay. Is it featuring Avicii or with Avicii, but Sky Full of Stars? This will always remind me of Big Weekend.
Always.
When they played this, it went off.
Same as when 303 played Big Weekend. Okay.
It's a tough one.
Think of poor Kesha with no money, sat there at home.
Well, that's it, isn't it? And, you know, she never looked the cleanest. So without money, I can't imagine that she's doing too well for herself.
She was very clean. But think of Avicii.
That was just the look she was going for.
Okay. Oh, I see.
Think of Avicii with all the money.
Yeah, he doesn't need any more.
And Coldplay, I think they're fine as well.
Think of poor 303 sat there in America.
Right. They've not had a hit.
Not had a hit for a while.
Was there two of them?
Yes. When that they came in once. When that check comes through the door, they're going to be so glad of it.
What does that add to anything? They came in once. I couldn't tell you who they were if they stood up in my suit now.
I think if I pick Coldplay, my brother would murder me because he hates Coldplay.
But he's not choosing.
I know he's listening. No, but I know he's listening.
No, but what
on an epic drive up north. And plus, I need to give them some money, don't I? They're probably struggling with their rent. So I'm going with that.
Thank you.
Serious?
No worries.
Thank you. Thank you for thinking of poor 303 and Kesha at this difficult time. My first kiss went a little like this. And twist. She will never get enough when she gets a little touch. If I had it my way, you know that I'd make her say, ooh. Ooh. She will never get enough when she gets a little touch. If I had it my way, you know that I'd make her say, ooh. Ooh. She won't ever get enough when she gets a little touch. If I had it my way, you know that I'd make her say. Right.
What a finish. Do you know, when they finished that song, they must have sat there, did they seriously look at each other and go, oh, that's good.
Shut up.
That's really good.
Look, it sounded better in my head, all right?
No, bits of it are good, but then it's weird where it's like, and twist.
And twist.
My word, it beat Coldplay and Avicii.
I know.
On a collaboration, lost to that.
I'm lost for words with my own song choice.
How do you feel about it?
I just can't believe I won.
Yeah.
Also, using a dollar sign instead of an S. Ho! Right, so 303 exclamation mark. No, 30 exclamation mark 3, actually. And Kesha with a dollar sign for an S. My first kiss somehow won bangers today.
This is BBC Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
So I see that Ken Dodd is still trending on Facebook.
What is the story with that? Why is he trending?
Right, okay. So Ken Dodd, I mean, you'd be forgiven if you don't know who he is, if you're a Radio 1 listener, because I've just looked him up. He was born in 1927. But one of the finest comedians of his day, I'm told. Mm. Actually, my gran used to love him, like proper love him.
Fangirl.
Don't call my gran a fangirl. That's weird.
She was a really
big fan of his work.
Yeah, but...
Okay, yeah, early fangirl.
Fangirl of Ken Dodd, then.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. She just thought he was funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, he presented the Best Comedy Award at the National Television Awards last night. Comedian, like I say, a fantastic comedian from way back in the day. But we've worked out why he's still trending on Facebook. It's because lots of people were watching the show last night and were really shocked that he's still alive.
Right,
which he is.
Okay. But enough to spark a conversation.
Yeah, well, obviously it's still trending because people on TV is like, what? I thought he was off. But he's not. And that is just fantastic when that kind of thing happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
It happens to me quite a lot. Yeah, well, there were celebrations all over the UK last night as people found out that he was still alive.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, it happens occasionally. Often there's these rumours. It's like Neil Buchanan.
Yeah.
Do you remember the old... I often hear that...
That he's died of an art attack.
Okay. But isn't that
great? It's such a nice feeling, a really nice feeling when you like see them and you're like, I thought they were dead. And they're not.
But enough people were talking about that on Twitter for it to trend.
I had it this morning, right? You know the Nan from Benidorm?
Yes.
I thought she was long gone. Then she turns up on Good Morning Britain. And then once again,
it's a lovely, lovely surprise.
Celebrations in my house and across the UK as people are like, oh, she's still on.
Scott Mills.
Right, there's something really hard I've got to say now, and it's really hard to say. Terrible news, Chris. Whereas Ken Dodd is very much alive. Ken Dodd's dog's dead.
Very good. Very good joke.
You say it?
I'm not risking saying that. No.
This is going to be like when I ordered the pate at Christmas.
No, exactly.
The duck liver pate in front of my dad.
That was the duck. The best moment of last year came right at the end when you, in front of your dad, ordered the duck liver pate.
Yeah.
and swapped duck
and then
for another word.
And then
and liver
became lover.
And the worst is he tried to make everything okay. Don't worry, son, I do that all the time.
Yeah.
So don't say that.
Terrible. BBC Radio 1. Jack, what's on your mind?
Hi, Scott. Well, I was in a YouTube spiral recently and came across the Ed Sheeran, an example Nando Skank video. Do you remember it?
Yeah, legendary video this. Scott, are you familiar with the Nando Skank?
I think so. How long ago was it?
Oh.
5 years ago? 6 years ago? Scott, this wasn't an official single or anything.
No.
I think we should stop calling the restaurant by its name. So let's from now on call it the Wando Skank.
Yeah.
It was like a freestyle between Ed Sheeran and Example outside one of Example's gigs. Because Ed Sheeran was the guitarist for Example for quite a while.
Yeah. And right, I found it already.
Oh, you got it?
Found it.
Oh. Chicken and chips. Every now and then there's a freestyle like this. When I freestyle on the beat about chicken, you know it's finger licking. And I'm going to pass it over to Example. Now he's going to freestyle and he's going to show you how he does.
Chicken.
Oh, he's always been good, hasn't he? Always been good.
It's great. And they just go backwards and forwards with this song for ages.
The reason that I'm telling you about this is there's been a lot of talk recently about how Ed's got his scar.
On his face. Yeah, he's got a scar.
Everyone seems to be talking about the scar on Ed Sheeran's face because... he won't say exactly why it's happened. I think we all kind of know, but then he's never really confirmed it, so we can't be 100% sure.
Well, we saw it with our own eyes when he came in to play us his two new tracks, didn't we, a few weeks ago?
Yeah. Well, we asked him about it. Mm. It was one of the first things we asked is, so what is the story with the scar there?
It's a visible scar.
Yeah, and the story is that he was mucking around with one of the royals. I think it was Beatrice or someone like that.
This is only the rumour.
Only a rumour. And... they were with James Blunt, something like that. And then someone thought it would be funny to knight either James Blunt or Ed Sheeran. And he's ended up with a scar on his face by some kind of wayward sword. Thing is, though, Scott, with that story, he didn't confirm or deny it then, did he?
No.
And on Graham Norton, when I saw him, he kind of didn't really confirm or deny it properly then.
But he said the same thing. He was like, I can't talk about it.
And it's an amazing cover story if it isn't real, because you'd be so distracted by that that you wouldn't know the real cause, would you?
Exactly, yeah.
So,
Jack, why did the video make you think about the scar on his face?
I believe in the song, one of the words is, if you come to me and ask for a chicken, you'll get a fat scar on your left cheek.
Yes, it is. You're right. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Let me find the bit, hang on.
If you come to me and ask for chicken, you'll get a fat scar in your left cheek. I eat Nando's every week.
I do love this song so much.
I haven't heard it for ages.
Mm. Yeah, that's one of the lines in the song.
Yeah, so I was wondering if that's the true reason Ed got his scar.
Could be.
Right, so he's using the royal knighting story as a cover-up for what actually happened, which was that he approached Example for some chicken and received a slap to the face, which would result in a scar.
In a scar.
Yep. Got it in one.
Not quite sure why you'd make up the story about Beatrice, but yeah.
The royal one is way better, though.
It's good, isn't it? It's better than, Example did it.
I asked him for some chicken and he gave me a fat scar.
I reckon this will be the first of many theories about how he got that scar now.
Yeah. I really like this idea that the royal knighting story is actually a massive cover-up
made
for
up.
What really happened.
Yeah.
And I'd also like to think it's less boring than asking Example for chicken.
Yeah. Jack, I think you've started something here.
Yep, cheers. That's what I thought so too.
Thanks for that. I love you, bye. Scott Mills. I think some people think that Ed Sheeran made up the alleged knighthood story because the other one was so dull, the reason why. Carl thinks he could have done it himself on his cheek with one of those old school letter openers while opening all his fan mail.
And if you're going to have a big scar, it's better to have that story, or at least allude to a better story.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. Ed's scar's on his right cheek, people are saying.
Okay. So not chicken related, we don't think.
Also, it is easy to get a scratch on your face. I wake up with scratch on face all times.
Today?
Often. Oh, well, and no, that was... This could also be what Ed's thing is. That was a simple shaving injury. Ho! Cutting yourself shaving? Not done that for years.
Well, that's what you're claiming. I mean, maybe you had an incident with a sword...
No, I didn't.
...at the palace last night.
Love, I don't own any swords. Not in Echo Falls.
Did someone try and knight you with their sword?
No. In Echo Falls, last night.
Is that why you're bleeding?
No. Only today, I said it was a minor injury. It's not. I've lost a lot of blood. I cut myself just below the nose. And,
I mean, this is a true story.
And it's only just stopped.
I've got to admit, it's been so distracting the whole show.
It's been weeping for hours. It was like 8 o'clock this morning. I came in to see you at, like, before 12, and it was still going, wasn't it?
Also, for bits of this show, you've had paper attached to your face.
All right.
And everyone's going to ignore it. Which Sean Walsh on the show today? He didn't say a thing.
Just a paper moustache.
Scott Mills.
Hello, Alessa B.
Oh, hello.
You've just told me something great. I mean, this has got to be a life highlight, right?
Oh, don't. I felt a bit down for a few days after it.
You were a question on Pointless?
Yeah.
What was it?
It was name the people in this picture.
Did they get it?
No.
Oh, no.
No, but you were the pointless answer.
I think I was the pointless answer.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, I think I was. Loads of people texted me about it and tweeted me about it over Christmas.
But what makes you think you were pointless on it? Because if they didn't answer it, you don't know, do you?
No, because then they run through them, don't they? Oh, yeah. Don't they run through what the pointless answers were?
Oh, yeah, they do.
And if it's pointless, doesn't that mean literally nobody would ever have said they knew
who
you were?
Yeah, it basically means they've asked 100 people who is the person in this picture and they can't tell you.
Don't want to wipe your story, but I was a question on Tipping Point the other day. Don't mention it. Right, should we... Oh, I feel bad for
with
you.
With one hand they giveth and with the other they take away...
You should have to give permission for that kind of thing, shouldn't you? It's like, it's kind of rude. And also, the whole aim of that game is to get a pointless answer.
Exactly.
So they will have discussed you on that show.
But
going,
no one's...
God, does no one know? Are you sure?
Think of
you
someone
don't have
that
a clue?
No one will know. Like, literally, so anonymous.
That's the thing, that when they're doing that quiz, they don't think that there's people there with feelings.
Yeah. That's so true.
There's a person behind the question, guys.
Right. And behind the zero, there's a person.
Just have a thought, okay?
Now, have you been on Pointless as a contestant?
No!
Oh, okay.
Right, here's today's Real or No Real.
At last night's National Television Awards, Matt Edmondson travelled to the ceremony by scooter.
Oh, he blooming loves that scooter, doesn't he?
I hate this scooter.
Why?
I hate it.
Why is that strong feeling?
Got you in the shins.
It's just so annoying. I've told him to his face, so I don't feel bad saying it. But the other day, I saw him taking off on it, right? He was outside Radio 1 building. And when he pushed off, do you know what he looked like? You know Ariel in The Little Mermaid when she's on the rock?
Yeah.
He's so elegant. It really annoys me.
Oh, okay. So it annoys you that he's good at it.
So gracious.
Yeah.
Has the BBC had words with him scooting in the building yet? Like, is he allowed to?
Oh, because he does.
Does
I mean,
he?
I don't want to dob him in, but
does he? What, in the reception?
Round the corridors.
Yeah.
That's how he gets around. I've never seen him walk. In the past 4 years, I've never seen him walk.
Not in the building?
Yes. From desk to desk.
Didn't know that.
Because do you remember when that memo... There has been an email that's gone out before about people using transport on the 8th floor. You know, when
what do
those,
you mean transport? No one's got a Segway in the office.
No, but they did. Yeah, they did. You know those hoverboard things? An email went round saying no one's allowed to use these.
Did they ban them? Have they banned British Bulldog as well?
You're not allowed to play Conkers on the 8th floor either.
The BBC has gone mad.
No more football stickers.
Did Matt travel to the NTAs by scooter, real or no real?
Oh, I really wouldn't put it past him, real.
Schools always clamp down on crazies. Doesn't matter if they didn't harm anyone. At some point, the school would say, like, no trading of Pokemon cards.
Who got hurt by a yo-yo ever?
Exactly.
No one.
Right, just relax.
Yeah. Our school let you have yo-yos, but you weren't allowed to perform around the world. Really, really kind of like strict with the rules.
Chris, real or no real?
I'm going real.
That one is no real.
That's surprising. He does travel everywhere by scooter, almost everywhere.
He always says it's really efficient.
And he does live just around the corner from the O2 where the NTAs were held, but he chickened out. Alice, you wait right there, my love.
Okay.
More real or no real next.
Scott Mills.
Alice is here with real or no real. Can I chuck you another fact?
Yeah, I'd love one.
You can book yourself onto a Pitbull cruise where you ride the high seas with Mr. Worldwide himself.
That doesn't sound like my idea of a good time.
What do you mean it's Pitbull?
I'm not the biggest Pitbull fan. Is that controversial?
Yes. Yes, it is. He's amazing.
He's a very intriguing man, obviously. And,
yeah,
and quite the musician.
He's one of my favourite guests that we've ever had on.
Is he really?
Yes. You can imagine that from me.
Yeah,
right?
Actually, that doesn't surprise me.
He's not just a musician, he's a philosopher.
Sure.
He's a thinker.
He is.
And he's a doer, which makes me think that this would be real, actually. Although these themed cruises, I'm hearing more and more about. I heard about a Strictly cruise that happens.
That happens.
And all it is a normal cruise.
Yeah.
But at some point, a helicopter arrives with two contestants from Strictly.
Not true.
Drops them off.
Not true.
They perform and then leave again.
No, no, because I know about these from my time on the show.
I can imagine you do.
You board the ferry with
the vessel,
the ferry with one of the other contestants and Craig Revel-Horwood.
Does he always do it?
Yeah, he's always on.
Okay.
And then you sell the med and do a talk to some old dears about Strictly Come Dancing and your time on the show.
How long are you on the ship for?
I'm saying 3 or 4 days. A couple
really?
Of professional dancers on there as well.
See, I just thought you were on there for a couple of hours.
No.
So
no,
to call
you
it,
don't get helicoptered in.
Well, you might not, but like some of the bigger ones might.
No, I got offered it. I got offered to go with Alison Hammond, but didn't.
Why would you say no to that?
Because Radio 1 always takes first priority.
Mm.
That's why.
Apart from holidays.
Can't be going off with dancing around the med with Alison Hammond.
We'd all love to do that, but we've got responsibilities.
Really would.
On dry land.
But is there now a pitbull cruise where he turns up, Mr. 305 himself, and like does a bit of a turn?
I'm sure he's a high enough calibre of star that he probably could do the helicopter thing. Even if it doesn't happen on the Strictly one, I imagine he could do that in and out.
You just know there's going to be bottles of massive vodka with sparklers in, don't you? And people in bikinis.
It's going to be gaudy, isn't
it? Real or no real?
I'm going to say real.
Chris?
Oh, no real.
That one is real.
It's true. You can put yourself onto a pitbull cruise, and I've got a little flyer here. It's amazing. Round-trip cruise from Miami to Great Stirrup Cay for a private beach party. Two incredible performances by Mr. Worldwide.
Two? Why do you need two?
You only need one.
Q&A session.
Performances.
Q&A session with Pitbull.
Q&A!
Great onboard activities hosted by other After Dark party artists.
Health and safety briefing from Pitbull.
And a dance boot camp with the most bad ones dancers. What?
Yes, you love the dancers. Most bad ones.
Yeah,
you don't need two performances. That's excessive.
If I ever go to Miami again, I'm going to book it.
I actually think you will.
Yeah. And next,
Theresa May's present that she will give to Melania Trump, the president's wife, when they meet later today, will be a luxury hamper.
Oh, that's just what she wants.
It's a bit rubs, isn't it?
So she's going to have to hand over a massive basket.
Yeah.
It's going to be heavy as well.
Mm. So Theresa May turns up at the White House. Hello, Melania, my darling. and hands over a massive hamper.
Do you think, this is not corroborated, this is just a theory, you know at Christmas how all the hampers are quite expensive, but then come January, they just slash the price.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's one of
they
those.
Do.
Yeah.
You're right.
Do you think it'll all have Christmas packaging? Like all the biscuits and the tea will have like
Merry
holly
Christmas.
On it.
She's whipped off the reduce sticker on that. Yeah. I'm thinking on a logistical level as well. If she turns up holding a hamper, I foresee the greeting to be one of the most awkward things ever, because she's going to have two hands on the hamper, isn't she?
Yeah.
But then she's going to have to try and lean over the hamper for a kiss.
Ungainly, yeah.
No, I reckon someone will be holding the hamper.
Oh, do you think she won't actually hand it across herself?
No. Can this be true?
Do you think there are perishables in there, like cheese? I'm going to say...
You're worrying too much.
I know. I'm really thinking about what could be in that hamper. Yes. I'm going to say real.
It's going to be packed with British stuff, I reckon. I'm going to go real.
That one's real.
Yes.
Do you want to know what's in it?
I really do.
Theresa will be giving Melania a hamper of goods, including marmalade, Bakewell tarts and white chocolate shorties. Rubbish.
Oh, that's not good. I'd be disappointed with that.
I bet some of our posher listeners have a better hamper than that.
Yeah, for sure.
You probably do.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about me. Who are you talking about? I did want to thank you, actually, because last Real or No Real that we did, we talked about no ginger emojis and the carrot emoji.
Yeah. Straight away.
They've got on it.
Yep. See, they listen.
Honestly, it was a day later, loads of people tweeting it to me, so thank you so much for that.
You must be pleased.
I'm over the moon, I really am.
Thanks, Alice. At the end of that round of Real or No Real,
I scored 10, Alice, you scored 20.
Back at the net. Scott Mills.
We're back tomorrow, Friday, from 1 o'clock on BBC Radio 1.